60, and I'm reading from New International Version translation. Give you a moment to find it. Acts chapter 7, beginning in verse 54. I'm a strong believer in everybody being part of the Word, so if you forgot your Bible with you, look on with somebody that's around you. But let's all get into it. Acts chapter 7, beginning in verse 54. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears and, yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Let's pray together for a moment. Heavenly Father, we're glad to be here in this place today. There's no other place we'd rather be. Because we're gathered with brothers and sisters in the faith, we're gathered here in your name. We're gathered here to grow in our spiritual journey. And we pray, Lord, that your message would come forth this morning. I'm not interested in these people hearing my words. I want them to hear your words. I want them to sense the power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit in this place. And so we invite you to move among us. That what we do for these few moments will be something meaningful for each and every one of us. Guide us, Lord. We pray it in your name. Amen. It's a real joy to be here on Memorial Day weekend, Memorial Sunday. This is a wonderful time when all of us have got the barbecue grills cleaned out, ready to go. We replaced some of the parts that aren't any good anymore through the winter. Now we're ready for a wonderful cookout. There's ball games going on, parades, a lot of things happening. It's just kind of a great holiday. And here in Ohio, we're hoping that the warm weather now is going to last until at least October, right? It was back in 1868, after the end of the Civil War, when national cemeteries for the United States were first organized. But in 1868, General John Logan decided that there ought to be a time designated, because what happened after the Civil War was that people just spontaneously went out to where these graves were. They had fought such a horrible conflict. And they would go to the graves, decorate them with flowers and bunting. They would take time there to pause and remember that bloody conflict between the North and the South. And so in 1868, General John Logan took a national movement and said, we ought to have a day called Decoration Day. And Decoration Day ought to be the last Monday of May. Now, I don't know how long it took for that to catch on, but it wasn't long before communities decided to have special events, and it all focused around Decoration Day. Parades, picnics, all kinds of things that would honor those who had given their lives in service to the country. It didn't become Memorial Day until 1971. That's when Congress established that it would be the last official Monday in May, creating a three-day weekend for all federal employees. And that action created a standard for everybody to follow. And so today, if you were early in the morning and watched any of the news, you saw that there is a parade, I think, in Cleveland for fallen firemen. There's a time to honor policemen. There's always a time to honor the servicemen who have served, emergency personnel. It's a time to recognize that we live in a country that has been blessed by those who gave their lives that we could experience freedom and democracy. It's a time when you'll see flags lining the roads, a time when you'll see kind of a patriotic fervor that emerges out. And I'm as patriotic as the next person. I love the offertory this morning. It was beautiful. And when I go to a ball game and the national anthem comes on, I stand and sing it with all the gusto I've got. And I've got a big mouth, so everybody can hear me all around. But on this Memorial Day, I am a Christian. And being a Christian gives me just a little bit different perspective than everything else that's going on in our culture. You see, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says to us, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when I accepted the gift of salvation in my life, then I accepted the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that means that Jesus comes first. It comes first before even my marriage and my wife. Comes first before even my children. Comes first even before my country. Jesus is Lord of my life. And so having that sense of citizenship in heaven, yeah, I live in this human body, and so I'm still dwelling in the United States, and I'm glad and blessed to have been born here. I'd rather live here than any other country in the world. But as a Christian, there's a difference. And this text today from Acts chapter 7 will help us understand and see what that difference is. You still have your Bible open? Acts chapter 7. If you look there in verse 54, it says, when they heard this, and of course that raises a question, heard what? All of chapter 7, if you look at that, back beginning in verse 1, is Stephen speaking to the Sanhedrin. Now, at the beginning of chapter 7, it says it's a speech. I would call it more of a sermon because he really let them have it. Beginning in verse 2, Stephen goes through all the history that's there. He gives the Jewish history, and he gives them all this sense of what has happened over these years. And of course, the Jewish Sanhedrin, all of these religious leaders, they're listening to Stephen recount and review all of these things, and they're nodding their heads, saying, yes, yes, that's right. This man knows what he's talking about. He's talking about Moses. He's talking about coming out of Egypt. He's talking about all these things that are a part of our history and mean so much to us. They've shaped us. They've made us the people we are today. But then you get down to verses 51, 52, and 53. And Stephen takes a direct right turn. He says, we've got all this wonderful history, and you people are all part of this history, and you people are all part of the Jewish legacy and the Jewish heritage, but you've messed up. You've messed up really bad. And recognize that Stephen is talking to the leaders of the church. Stephen is talking to the people who should have known better. Stephen is talking to the ones who should be setting the example for everyone else. And in verses 51, 52, and 53, he says to them, you're not obeying Moses' law. You're not listening to the Holy Spirit. And when the Messiah got here, you killed him. Now, the Sanhedrin, composed of all these uppity-ups, you know, they didn't just kind of listen to that and say, well, you know, this man's got a point. No. Now, they heard this, and they got horribly offended. I'm going to take a little sidebar here for just a moment. I'm of the opinion today that in the church, and I'm not talking about this particular church, I'm talking about the church generally, we've strayed. And we need to be called to accountability. Even this morning, I heard one of your brothers pray about the fact that we need revival from coast to coast. But you know what happens when people start calling folks that ought to know better to accountability? They don't like that very much. They get offended. They get angry. And they want to react. And that's exactly what the Sanhedrin did. They got so furious. The scripture uses the phrase, gnash their teeth at Stephen. Now, if I had some way of describing the Greek translation of that, I mean, we're talking about faces turning purple. We're talking about smoke coming out of their ears. We're talking about this kind of thing. And they just really got so angry and upset with him that they couldn't stand it. And then Stephen really got them bent out of shape when he says, "Oh, look, look, I see heaven." And the word tells us that that was it. That was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. And they grabbed him. And the word says they all grabbed him. They didn't go and say to the soldiers that were there, "Hey, guys, grab this guy." They didn't establish a committee to do it. No, they all grabbed him. Here's these guys in their fancy robes. Here's these guys that are supposed to sit behind the special seats. They all get up as a mob and say, "We're going to take care of this problem." Grab him by the arms, take him out beyond the city wall, and there's a place where they start stoning people who deserve it. I mean, this is mob violence. This is anger at its worst. This is evil. In the midst of the evil, Stephen sees glory. Now, I want you to hear that. And I want you to remember that. If you don't remember anything else I say this morning, and that's okay, most people don't, I want you to hear and remember that phrase. In the midst of the evil, Stephen saw glory. Now, how is it described? How is the glory described? Stephen looks up there and he says, "I see heaven open," this is verse 56, "and I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Now, the Son of Man, we know, is Jesus Christ. Jesus is standing there looking at him. Now, it would be very easy to just kind of sweep right past that verse. Okay, saw Jesus standing. So what? Let me tell you what the significance of that is. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, let's turn there. Take a moment to keep your finger in Acts chapter 7. Go back to Hebrews 10, 12, because I want to ask you something. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. If you ever want to ask a pastor what they like to hear while they're preaching, it's that thumbing of the pages when you're looking up the scripture. That's a great thing to hear. Everybody got it? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. Now, if you have the NIV translation, at the beginning of the chapter, you have a heading title. Anybody got one of those? Hebrews chapter 10. We're in verse 12, but the beginning of chapter 10. Do you have a heading title there? Anybody? Got it? What does it say? Oh, say it a little louder. Christ's sacrifice once for all. So what this means is that this entire chapter of Hebrews chapter 10 is about Jesus and his sacrifice for all of us. All right, with that in mind, let's get then to verse 12. And in verse 12 it says, "But when this high priest," and who is this high priest? Jesus, "when this high priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God." See what it says there? He sat down at the right hand of God. All right, now stay with me. In the temple, and we all know that the temple was the most holy place for Jews in their relationship with God. That's where the Holy of Holies was. That's where the altar was. I mean, that's it. In the temple, there are no seats. Go look it up. In any drawings you ever find in the temple, there are no pews. There are no benches. There are no seats. There's the lampstand. There's the table for the Shinoah bread. There's all these other things. But the priests, as they attended to the significance of relation to God for the Jewish people, they didn't sit down in the temple. Now, there's some symbolism there. And it might be just a simple thing, but it's very, very significant. In the temple, they didn't sit down because the work was never finished. See, if you sit down, you can say to yourself, "Okay, I'm done." Because I find that if I'm working on a project and I sit down, I probably am not going to get started again. But in the temple, they didn't sit down. because there's still work to do. And that was the attitude that the priest maintained. We're not going to sit down because the job's not finished. Oh, they did the sacrifices and they did all of these things, but that's all temporary. Because they knew they'd have to do a sacrifice again. And they'd have to continue doing this. The job was not done. But when Jesus, Hebrews 10, chapter 12, verse 12, when Jesus completed the sacrifice for all, what did he do? He sat down beside the Father. All right, you got that image? All right, let's go back then to Acts chapter 7. In verse 56, and Stephen says, I see Jesus. Does he see Jesus sitting down at the right hand of the Father? No. He sees Jesus standing there. Okay, now what's the problem here? In Hebrews, we see Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Stephen sees him standing at the right hand of the Father. Or standing at the right. So what's going on? I'm assuming maybe that Jesus needed to stretch his legs. Or maybe Jesus was trying to get a better view. Somehow or another, however he was watching what was going on down there with the Sanhedrin and Stephen, he got up from his chair because he wanted to see just exactly what was happening down there. Or maybe Jesus was so angry with the way the Sanhedrin responded to him that he just kind of had to get up. Oh, I can't believe what's going on down there. You suppose that's what's going on? No. I don't think so. I think Jesus is standing because he knows that he's about to receive Stephen before the Father. And I can just hear, it's not written in the scripture, but in my mind, I can just hear Jesus saying, turning to his Father, Stephen is one of my followers. He has confessed his sins. He is standing for me. Father, receive him as you have received me. Stephen looks up and sees what's happening. And what does he say? I see glory. I see Jesus ready to receive me. I see glory. Can you think of anything better? Can you think of anything better than that? See, remember what it says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Today, I am remembering. I'm remembering a lot of people over the years. I've done church work. This would be 43 years. And I remember a lot of people over the years that lived lives of faith. And they didn't always have it so good. I can't imagine what it's like to make somebody so angry that they would want to take stones and literally kill me with those stones. But that's what Stephen went through. He was the first martyr. But I know the lives of many who have struggled with addiction, have struggled with disease. They struggled with heartaches that this world causes. I can walk through the cemetery, not this one, but in several cemeteries where I've pastored, and I can look at the names on the stones, and those lives come to mind. I can remember being at the side of many, many individuals when they came to the point of drawing their last breath. And I witnessed how many of those could see glory. Those people who have gone on before us, I remember them. And I honor them because they have impacted my life. My faith is stronger because when they went through tough times, they saw glory. One of those that I'm referring to just made the journey 6 days ago. He was my brother. 7 years older than I am. I think he had been diagnosed with cancer probably 5 years ago. Something like that. And it was not a pleasant road. Some of you may be cancer survivors. Some of you may have a loved one that has gone through that, and you know what that's like. But in the midst of all the stuff that comes with cancer, and you know what comes with cancer, sometimes it's horrible pain. Sometimes it's the suffering of the treatment. Sometimes it's the fear and the unknown. Sometimes it's just the change in lifestyle that you've got to deal with all this stuff. But in the midst of all of that, I watched my brother as a Christian husband, as a Christian father and grandfather, as a good neighbor, as a witness to his community. And in the midst of everything he went through, I never ever saw him succumb to a pity party. I never ever saw him get discouraged and say, well, I'm just going to give up. No. And in the midst of all of that, when no matter how difficult it got, what I saw in my brother was that he saw glory. And now he's there. Praise God. How much has your life been changed because of someone whose faith was strong in the midst of the worst that life has? Let's even take it a step further. The thing that we need to take home with us today is that life is short. Life is temporary. If the Lord tarries and he doesn't come back for a while yet, and none of us knows the day, if he tarries, we're all going to die. It's the natural conclusion of life. It's our transition from this world to the next. We are all going to go through that. And I got to tell you, when it comes my turn and I draw my last breath, I hope to be able to look up and see Jesus standing with his arms open wide and saying to his Father, Dad, this is one of mine. He lives by faith. He's confessed his sin. And I want you to receive him as you have received me. That's glory. Is there any better? Is there any better glory than that? Is there anything possible that can top that? Nothing. Not one. Because this world is all going to pass away. And on Memorial Day, that hits us right between the eyes. Let me close. You realize that there are only two groups of people here this morning. Oh, I could say there's young and old, or men and women. I could give a real simple. But based on what we read here in Acts chapter 7, there are only two groups of people here today, and you are in one group or the other. One group is ready to go to heaven, and the other group isn't. One group has their sins forgiven with faith in Jesus Christ, and the other group hasn't. One group can see glory, and the other group doesn't. So I just have one question. In which group are you? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your presence with us in this place. The lesson of Stephen helps us understand that when life is at its worst, we can see glory. Lord, we know and we clearly understand that this life gets pretty ugly sometimes. Whether it's disease, whether it's broken relationships, whether it's some kind of addiction, it's sin in our life, whatever it is, Lord. And the only hope we have is in you. Whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, I don't know these good folks. I know they're real friendly and they've paid close attention today, which I'm honored about. But I don't know them like you know them. You know these people from the inside out, and you know who this morning is rejoicing because they can see glory. And you also know who is struggling because they can't see it. Father, I celebrate with those who have spiritual peace and they are growing in their spiritual life. That's fantastic. But I agonize for those that are here this morning and they don't have peace with you. I pray, Lord, that they would not be comfortable in that situation. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to them in such a way that it would make them sit up and take notice. I pray, Lord, that they will today, soon, right now, whenever, find a time and a place to get their life right with you. Lord, we want to see glory. Help us, Father. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
If you would stand, we're going to close with hymn 104.